540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Steve Kaifin. Congress is being told the government has to do more and do it soon to get on top of the deadly fentanyl crisis. Retired DEA agent Derek Maltz.
Where the hell is the Department of Education? Where are the public service announcements? Why can't the White House team up with professional athletes and celebrities to get video reels to the kids on social media? Because that's what they'll see and that's what they'll respond to. Protecting the kids must be number one.
It's still snowing in Northern California, Sierra Nevada. Several feet are on the ground already, leaving roads blocked, power out, and some people stuck at home.
This is the real deal, and there's a lot of people in need up here. It's just a matter of who runs out of food first.
CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
In Yosemite National Park, park rangers confirming some areas there getting 15 feet of snow. Interstate 80, a major thoroughfare here in the Sierra Nevadas, remains closed today. And officials are warning drivers to not try to bypass road closures, not only the threat of snow on the ground, but the very real threat of potential avalanches.
A House committee has just voted to give President Biden the power to ban the Chinese-owned TikTok app on federal devices. Its future is not clear in the full House and Senate. And as CBS's Allison Keyes tells us, TikTok is seemingly aware of its influence on kids.
TikTok says those under the age of 18 will have to enter a passcode after 60 minutes, meaning they'll need to actively decide to extend their screen time. If the teen chooses to turn off the new limit and spends more than 100 minutes on TikTok per day, they'll be prompted to set a daily screen limit for themselves.
The transport minister in Greece has resigned after the deadly collision of a passenger train and a freight train. At least 36 people were killed, dozens injured. Passengers are describing the aftermath.
It was chaos. Tumbling over, fires, cables hanging, broken windows, people screaming.
President Biden has nominated Julie Hsu to be his new labor secretary, a current deputy in the department. Secretary Marty Walsh is leaving to head up the NHL Players Association. New prices haven't been finalized, but a major drug maker is set to provide relief to diabetics who deal with the high cost of insulin. CBS's Dr. David Agus.
Eli Lilly, which makes about a quarter of the world's insulin, has announced that starting now, it'll be easier to get discounts on its products. And by the end of the year, there'll be this dramatic cut in all of its diabetes insulin products.
Prices for the most commonly prescribed insulin and one other will be slashed by around 70%. Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 10 points. The S&P is down 10 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The Republican co-chairs of the legislature's budget committee say they don't expect a flat tax to be a part of the new budget. The governor's Department of Revenue estimates the move would have reduced the tax revenue used to fund government by an estimated $5 billion per year. The road closure in Lac des Flambeaux is in its second month. Lac des Flambeaux tribal officials set up barricades January 31st after a decade of stilted negotiations with title companies over expired easements. The tribe is asking for $20 million. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports an attorney for the title companies and some residents threatening legal action if the roads don't get reopened. Landowners have made a second settlement offer of over $1 million, but no response yet from tribal leaders. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
I pick one. We can just play three headlines and a lie.
Fantastic. Who could have thunk that?
Who could have predicted this?
Who would have seen that coming, and why didn't anyone warn them?
That's so cool. Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy Wednesday. Happy March. It is March 1st. We are in a new month. Hopefully that means spring is right around the corner. But here we are, halfway through the week. Jane Matner, how did it go without me yesterday?
Hey, we missed you, but Carol Kane was here, and we didn't break anything for the last 2 hours, so that was good. And
Thank you. Clap.
And I would just like to confirm that it is almost officially spring because I saw a chipmunk run across the road this morning.
Oh, I saw a fruit fly. Does that count?
What?
No, that just means you're gross.
Okay. that other voice you just heard is, of course, Mr. Greg Bach, because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm also doing well.
Excellent.
Happy to be here. Happy to have you here.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm also happy that it's Women's History Month.
Yeah. Now all the billboards... Just change them over at midnight.
From Black History Month to Women's History Month. There's some overlap. We can still celebrate Black women.
And without a doubt.
Are we allowed to? I don't know. Did Billboard say we could? I have no idea.
Yeah. But I thought this was interesting. So there is always a theme to every year. I don't know who gets to decide the theme, but there's a theme every year for the Women's History Month. And this month's theme is celebrating women who tell our stories. What does that mean? It means the recognition of women, past and present, who have been active in all forms of media and storytelling, including print, radio, TV, stage, screen, blogs, podcasts, news, and social media. So, Greg, I think that means you have to celebrate Jane and I.
Yay!
I understand there's a gift per day.
I know. I think that is provided part of the stipulation.
Provided by one's closest partner.
Exactly. Right. Mike and Paul.
Yeah.
We are going to try to do, I reached out to Wisconsin Historical Society this morning and said, hey, you got anyone who wants to come on and talk about different Wisconsin women's stories?
Right. I've done some in the past. Dude, probably.
There's a lot of them. There is a lot of them. But as far as getting someone who's a little bit more of an expert than me just reading off their website would be good.
Yeah.
Do you have a shiro?
Yeah, I've got a lot of them, honestly. Yeah? Yeah, from like the non-famous to the very famous. Yeah,
right.
Got a lot of them.
Do you want to name any of them?
No, I'm just, yeah.
I'm going to keep it a secret.
No, I would say someone who's a big hero of mine is my grandmother. Even though, you know, I would love to say that I could tell you these stories about me going to my grandmother's house and she'd making cookies and it smelled like butter. No, it wasn't like that. But she was a truly... amazing woman, like in a day and age where, you know, people said, like, you stay with your husband and you live life and that's it. This is your job. She didn't. She
divorced his ass.
Divorced his ass.
Wow.
And wore pants in a time when they said, don't wear pants. Own property, own businesses. Like, she was, you know, she did her thing. That was Grandma Ruth.
All right, Grandma Ruth.
Grandma Ruth didn't take guff. She didn't take guff from no one.
Is this your mom's dad or your mom's mom or your
my
dad's
mom's mom?
Mom.
Okay. Yeah, my mom's mom. She was pretty cool. And as far as like a famous lady, I still always go with Stacey Abrams. I just want to hang out with her and just high five and be like, "Can I do something to help you? You seem like you do a lot. Can I get you a hot beverage?"
All right. Well, we will be celebrating that all month, but today we have a great show. In the bottom of the hour, we're going to give some updates on some Wisconsin budget news. Nothing concrete, obviously, because this is an ongoing negotiating situation. But then also have some fun topics. Well, no, I take that back. Child labor, definitely not a fun topic, but I think the angle we're taking it, because we had talked about a Wisconsin company that mid last month, it was reported that they had over 100 children working in their sanitation plants. But New York Times published an article this past week that within 2 days after it was published, and it was about migrant children and the rampant child labor laws that are being broken, the Biden administration went into action. And so I feel like just talking about the power of journalism and how it literally does spark change when done well.
Yes.
It's kind of the moral of that story. So that part's funner.
The uplifting part. That's uplifting.
The uplifting. It's the silver lining to an otherwise pretty dark story.
Child labor is not going in the no sour fun time power hour.
No. Okay. Certainly not going in the third hour of this show. And then we have for 12:30, is it ethical to have two full-time jobs, if you can? If you can swing it and you get your work done, is it ethical? Because if you're not telling either job that you have another full-time job, and obviously this has to be remote, they're both remote. But there's a lot of trends going on in the workplace that we're going to talk about then. But to kick off today, yesterday, SCOTUS heard some student loans oral arguments.
Yeah.
And if you're one of the 40 million people who is eligible and likely celebrated last summer when you thought that the last of your student loans, not all of it, but like 50% thought the last of their student loans were going to be forgiven, don't hold your breath yet, because the conservative court sounded a little skeptical of the arguments made yesterday in the Supreme Court about Biden's student debt relief program. And so just as a reminder and kind of what the case is, there's two different claims. One case is from six Republican-led states who argue President Biden doesn't have the authority to cancel student loans. And the other is from two people who didn't fully qualify for the relief program. And just a reminder that the debt relief plan would wipe up to $20,000 in debt for more than 40 million people. And there's some stipulations as far as how much money you make as a single person or as a married couple, and if you took a Pell Grant. But as someone who still has student loans.
Are you pointing to me or to yourself?
I paid mine off.
Oh,
and so I am not. But I am one of the people who paid it off but doesn't feel like, well, I paid mine off.
Same here.
And so, but you would have benefited from this.
I would benefit. Now, I'm happy to say this. I have $3,100 left in school loans. I'm almost there. So if I get it, it'll be great. It won't provide me a great deal of relief. It just will, like, you know, that's one less thing I have to worry about. But I'm definitely, even if I paid it off, I'd still be saying, yes, help out, do something.
So it's interesting because it sounds like the only chance of this standing is if the two parties have like cause, right? Is that what you understood? Like, how much of the hearings did you read yesterday as far as what happened?
Well, the little I was able to taper because I was working yesterday, but like, is that the justices, as it said, it everyone's been using the term skeptical. And to me, that just spells this is not going to happen. That they're basically going to look at it like, does the president have the ability to unilaterally do this action without Congress?
Yeah.
Which they'd been talking about for years, saying the president can, the president has the power to forgive up to a certain amount. Okay, so fine. Now that he did it, now we're in the courts, you're saying now he can't do it. Why didn't Congress do something beforehand limiting that power then if it did exist in the first place? We waited for someone to do it, and he did it, and now we're here. And now we're like, yeah. Every time I look at my school loan website, it always says, still in the courts. I'm like, I know it's still in the courts. I'm aware.
We have Charles on the phone checking in from Green Bay. Charles, what did you want to say about this?
Okay, you've got millions, if not billions, of PPP loans that went to people who didn't need them.
Yep.
And they were forgiven.
Yep.
Then you've got people who are struggling with student loans, and I'm not one of them. My student loans, I never had any, thank goodness, for my aunt and my grandmother, who bought U.S. savings bonds to pay for my college. But the point is, if they're struggling, and I could see, you know, giving some, you know, relief to the people who are struggling, but they have to prove that they're struggling.
So you feel like the threshold, the 100, was it 100,000 and 250,000? Or what were the two thresholds as far as how much people can make together?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I knew it was 150,000.
For singles?
For singles, yeah.
So that means, and depending on where you live, that can be, 150,000 in Wisconsin is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
In correct. New York City, not so much. So you're saying that you think people should have to prove more need than just automatically qualify?
Yes. I think that would be a way to do it. Let's see. Matt Gaetz got $474,000 in PPP loans.
What's his company that he applied for under that? I know. Because the same thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene, it was a construction company?
That's her father's company.
Yeah, it's her dad's company.
That's her father's company.
Yeah.
And Jared Kushner got $800,000+.
Because he really needs it.
He needs the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he needs it. You're right.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Charles. If you have feelings or reactions to the hearings yesterday, or I guess just about student loans in general, because this is still a very controversial issue. Mm-hmm. There was a poll that came out that said 50% of midterm voters supported debt relief, student debt relief, whereas 47 opposed it. And, like, that's pretty even, especially compared to some of the other public opinion polling on big issues
right,
yeah.
that we see that like it's really strong in one way or the other. This is pretty evenly split as far as how people feel about it. And I always come back to, it's one thing to have this one-time relief. It's another thing to actually fix the problem. And I feel like I still haven't heard any compelling theories as to how to fix the problem of why school has gotten so expensive.
Well, I mean, it's why is it so expensive is one question. How to fix it is this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll keep talking about it after the break because I don't know if we're going to fix it, but we will keep talking about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party.
We'll be right back.
Quite mild. Then why would you suggest it? And if they never forgive you, I'm probably going to start hanging with your future child.
You really sound like a creep now.
Don't you know I'll always be your thing?
Gee, I'll go thank the dean.
Hey, you're the one who signed your life away.
Yeah, when I was 17, I couldn't comprehend my fate, much less define an interest rate. I wish it was a full debate, but now it's far too late.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost.
So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 50. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 29 tonight. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 36. 2 to 4 inches of snow Friday through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Here's the news coming to you every hour on the hour.
Here is the news.
The weather's fine, but there may be a meteor shower.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinere and Greg Bach is here. Greg, is your? I'm trying to figure out. Someone on the text line said that there is reverb, and so we're trying to figure out which extra mic or sound is on.
Should be muted.
My computer is muted?
I don't know. That is
weird.
That is weird.
I muted mine on this end. We'll see if that makes a difference.
All right, let's see. All right. Well, welcome back. We are talking about the SCOTUS hearing, the student loan oral arguments yesterday, and their skepticism. The things that I heard is Justice Roberts, I guess he mentioned the cost, because it's almost half a trillion dollars. It's like, you know, it's a lot of money, half a trillion dollars over 30 years. And I think that is his point as far as, can they do this without Congress and spend this much money? But then there's also the thing that didn't make sense to me was I think it was Gorsuch and Alito bringing up fairness. And when has the law ever been concerned with fairness?
I mean, in its basis, yes, and its execution, no.
Yeah, that's what I mean. As far as when it's actually coming in to interpret the law, isn't it, this is what the law says, and not necessarily, well, is it fair or not? Like, because that goes about, like, changing the law.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what are they saying? What isn't fair? Is it fair? Because the thing I keep hearing, it's not fair to the people who don't have student loans. It's not fair to the people who didn't go to college. It's not fair. Yeah, but we pay for a lot of things that, if you're looking at it from that angle, there's a lot of things that aren't fair with how we spend money in this country on certain things, whether we want to talk about war, whether we want to talk about infrastructure, whether we want to talk about education. So, you know, why should I pay taxes in a school district where I don't have a child? I still pay taxes. Money gets spent, so it's going to get spent. Do it. I don't know. That's my thought.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I feel like this, I don't, what is a better, is it this the solution of, is there anything in here that would make not everyone, but majority of people happy?
No, I don't think so. I think they scream it's not fair. They scream all these things, but they don't come with a solution. There is no solution. Their solution is don't do it. Let them pay. They went to school. They knew what they were doing when they got into it. But unfortunately, as we've seen story after story, people getting loans 10, 20, 30 years ago are still paying because the interest rates, the amount, they're not getting the jobs they thought they were going to get coming out of college. I mean, it's. I'm going to use the word unfair. Now people are going to be like, well, it's not fair. It's not fair. But yeah, sometimes it just isn't fair.
But is it fair that if you file for bankruptcy, if you had a business loan, that would be forgiven and it would be wiped off your record, but your student loans aren't? Is that fair? that no matter what, you were on the hook for that when you signed up for it at 18?
Well, I mean, that's what, I mean, I wasn't 18.
And it's also like, it's a lot easier to get a student loan than it is to get a business loan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just, I mean, it's almost like getting a credit card nowadays. All you have to do is fill out some paperwork and that's it. I mean, yeah, one of the things that I've thought is that, excuse me, when you get a student loan, if it's a true loan, not a grant, but a loan, there should be some counseling in there too on how to, even though FAFSA, in order to graduate, when I graduated, I had to go through a class on paying my student, for those who can't see us, I'm doing air quotes. You had to do a class on paying off your loans or paying on your loans, but they really don't tell you about, like, take as much as you need. Don't take all of it. Go for grants. Look for grant money. There's lots of grant money. There's lots of scholarship money out there. But we don't, because we just say, you're 18, you're an adult, boom, there you go. Go to college, make something better.
Go to the best college you can.
Yep. And after that, we don't have to worry about you at all. And the moment you sign on that paper and take that money, it's your problem, not ours.
Texter from the 608 says, corporate America caused the problem by requiring a bachelor's degree or higher for jobs that do not exist. They should have the solution to fix the problem. They won't because of money. My student loans have accrued $30,000 in interest at 7%. Gosh. And since I couldn't get a company to hire me, the loans were $35,000, now over $75,000. I am almost 50 years old. I will never be able to pay on those loans or even pay them off before my time on this earth is over.
See, and that's the kind, those are the kind of stories where I feel like the average person who well, this isn't fair, and it, like, they don't actually understand. They think of some Ivy League or like liberal arts college who, you know, is in some cushy job or something like that. Like, I think it's just it's such a divide between the stereotype or the picture you've painted in your head of the other,
yeah,
versus the actual burden that people have taken on and how much it's limiting and impacting our economy. Because when you hear that story, like, that's unbelievable.
But I don't think it's unusual.
No, it's not. I saw a story about a guy who got a student loan in the 70s and he's still paying on interest. I mean, that thing is, and those people who say things like, you know,
go ahead.
It's people who say things like, too bad, that's, you know, you did what you did. These are the same people who, like, believe in the American dream, the most whitewashed basic version of the American dream, which is you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you make something of yourself. That's what these people did. They're like, I'm going to go to college. I want to better my life. I want a degree. I want to get a better job so I can provide. That's what they did. They weren't shirking the system. They didn't have a famous or rich dad or mom. They were just doing what we told them to do. That dream is is going to college, quote unquote, which I no longer subscribe to, even though I have a college degree.
All right. Well, again, I don't think we fixed it, but it's super interesting. I mean, don't hold your breath for a little while because it sounds like this won't be decided. I mean, this could be until next summer, unless. Is there any reason why a decision would come before next summer? Or I guess this summer, I should say.
This
summer.
No, yeah, I think we're going to see it summer. It'll be summertime. And even on top of that, I don't think it's going to be. I'm not holding my breath.
You're getting ready to pay your loans back?
Oh, absolutely. They'll pay it off by the time the decision comes down.
All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. When we come back, a biennial budget watch. We'll be right back.
I have to wait and see. I'll call you back later.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. Congress is hearing dramatic testimony on the fentanyl crisis, with retired DEA agent Derek Maltz urging strong action.
In my view, fentanyl is a chemical weapon, and the narco-terrorists in Mexico are destroying our country. They need to be held accountable, even if it means using our U.S. military.
How deep is the snow in the Southern California mountains?
I'm standing in the middle of the road right now. And every time you take a step, my foot goes down about 4 feet.
And deep snow in the Sierra Nevada to the north has blocked roads, knocked out power, and left some stranded at home. A major drug company is vowing to increase discounts and cut prices for insulin. CBS's Dr. David Agus says it's important for millions of diabetics.
Eli Lilly taking this step on its own rather than being mandated to is a very positive step forward, and I hope other companies come forward with the same sorts of policies.
The transport minister in Greece has resigned after a deadly train collision. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Earl Ingram.
They
text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We are always open to having your phone calls and your text messages, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. You can also leave a comment on the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and we will read it. We will consider your thoughts. Maybe we will refute your thoughts. You never know, but we would love to hear from you.
In my time being here since September, we've never gotten, like, I mean, I'm not on the show every day, but in the time I've been here on Wednesdays, we've never had like someone calling me like, you guys are full of BS, and I think the malarkey coming out of your mouth are crazy pants. I don't like it.
Yeah, we're pretty good. We're pretty good as far as we've yet to have anyone really, and I feel like Jane would cut them off pretty quickly. If anything were to happen as far as someone was like, well, we don't, that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
Please stop yelling at us. But yes, we always would love to hear from you. And so we march on with our topic for this segment. I feel like every day there's more information coming out as far as what was actually in the 10,000 page budget beyond what was addressed in Governor Evers' budget address, and also now more sound bites and reports on whether or not what the Republicans are going to include, what's DOA, et cetera, et cetera. So in this segment, we just thought we'd go through some of the headlines that I saw yesterday as far as things that may or may not end up in the final budget. The first one being, it sounds like, you know, I thought they were going to put up more of a fight, but it sounds like the GOP has decided that they are not going to die on the flat tax hill. And so,
dang.
I know, I was really going to see, I was like, I wonder, because basically Evers had said, this is a poison pill. I will not sign a flat tax.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Devin Lemieux was the only one who was really pushing this. Because even Robin Voss pretty early on was like, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice, but I'm not really counting on it.
Speaker Voss was quoted as saying,
probably other things that we can move forward with. And so, you know, it was good for me for content because I got to make a video about how terribly something similar that happened in Kansas failed.
Oh, yeah.
And so
it broke Kansas.
It broke Kansas.
Thanks, Governor Brownback.
And so good. So as far as this not being something that they're going to push through, I think this is a good thing. Do you have thoughts?
Can I be totally honest?
Sure.
I've never understood the idea of a flat tax. No one's ever been able to explain it to me where I'm like, I get that now.
Well, what do you mean?
Like what a flat tax? So like just like there's a flat tax.
You mean like what it is or why it works or why it's a good idea?
Both.
Okay.
Yes, both.
So flat tax is basically just everyone pays 3.5% of their income taxes.
That's dumb.
Versus a progressive tax, which is what we have, which is what the federal tax system is as well, which is you're supposed to pay larger percentage depending on which bracket you're in and how much you're making. And so this would just say, and this is why it's a disproportionate boon for the wealthiest people, because they're right now paying a higher percentage. Mm-hmm. And so does that make sense?
That makes sense. It's just, I guess, why can't Republicans make it make sense to the people that, you know what I mean? Like, to me, it sounds like you're going to pay less, and why people aren't on board with that. I get, maybe it's not the, okay, maybe let me rephrase it. It's not that I don't understand the flat tax. I don't understand why it is such a poison pill in states like our state. Like, I know that it was detrimental in Kansas. I guess it's, for me, like, it feels like it's something that should win a lot in Republican-controlled state houses.
Well, there's some Republican state houses, and I don't know the tax code for every single. I know, like, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, Alaska. Who else doesn't have an income tax at all?
Nevada?
Maybe Nevada. Off the top of my head, I can't think of everyone who doesn't have a state income tax at all. But to the south of that, I mean, there are multiple states that do have a flat tax, and then what they make it up in is sales tax and property tax and stuff. And so when you're looking at overall tax burden, because I think I saw some op-ed from, I think, someone from Badger Institute, which is a conservative think tank policy place, and their argument was that our neighbors, not Minnesota, but I think it was Illinois and Michigan, and then it was either Indiana or Iowa, has a flat tax. But then when you go and actually look at their overall tax burden, we're all basically the same.
Yeah.
Unless you live in Chicago, because like they have a higher city tax, right? And so I think it's also just what can you make it up with and other things. So it's like in Florida, tourism. In Texas and Alaska, they can make they don't have flat taxes. They have no income tax, but it's like energy and different industries that can generate a lot more revenue.
Wisconsin have no way of making it up? Like so if they implemented a flat tax saying, oh, we could do this. Like if we said legalized marijuana.
Yeah. Which is also dead on arrival.
Yeah.
There was no proposal in conjunction with Devin Lemieux's proposal of how that money would be made up, I think. Okay. Unless there was like a proposed overall sales tax increase. Well,
thank you. And thank you for listening to this section we call Kristen Explains Things to Greg.
Hopefully, I'm waiting to see someone text in like, Kristen, you were totally wrong. That is, I was like, I couldn't look things up in real time. I was like, this is off of memory. Yeah, da, 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 da. Here you go.
You can always correct us at 844-967-2789.
All right, well, that is not going to be in the budget. But also another thing that looks like it's also not likely going to be in the budget is Evers local sales tax proposal that would be funding at 20% of the statewide sales tax going back to cities and municipalities via shared revenue. This was from a luncheon yesterday.
Ooh, shared revenue.
And it seems like to me reading this that it's basically not so much that they don't like the idea, they being Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee, but more that they just don't like it was Evers' idea.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of their idea first, and then Evers proposed it, but now they just don't really want to take it. And so...
Well, you can't give them a win.
Well, also, I think if they can't... If they do that... Yes, one, they can't give them a win because we're still in that mindset. But also, I know that Voss was pushing the bigger municipalities to make changes to certain things to get more shared revenue, almost holding shared revenue over their heads, saying like, well, you know, if you change your infrastructure here, you adjust things there, we'll talk about more shared revenue for you. And if they do this, maybe Milwaukee won't have to kowtow to the Republicans on
that. Could be requests. That could be basically the two Republicans said they would build their budget. This is Mark Bourne and who was the other person at the
is it budget? Howard?
No, it was Howard Markline.
Yeah.
And saying that they would build their budget based on base levels. So the co-chairs said that there are opportunities for agreement with the governor, such on shared revenue to help fund local governments. Bourne said that doesn't mean they support what the governor is proposing, but they agree it's important to make progress on this on shared revenue, which is good because something needs to happen. But the quote was, that's not going to be something we're looking for. We're going to be looking for innovation and for really how this money funds the future of what local governments need to provide. So we're not interested in funding the same old systems with just new money. We want reforms. We want improvements that really fund the future of what are really essentially services that local governments have to provide. I don't really know what that means.
Well, yeah, because he didn't say anything. He didn't provide a solution himself.
Yeah, and I don't know what.
And then what was
innovate?
It? And then of course, Markland mentioned changes to Milwaukee's pension system as an example. Like they want to get their way. They're gonna put their boot on the neck of bigger cities, the ones who don't vote for them, as they always do, and they're gonna hold their shared revenue hostage.
So it'll be interesting to watch what proposal they come up with if they're pretty likely not going to adopt Evers' idea.
Yeah.
And then this feels like, I think this is going to be hard. I don't think this is going to end up in the budget, but I could be wrong. But this broke yesterday. I don't know if it broke. This was published yesterday.
It was published yesterday, yeah.
Tony Evers seeks $3.8 billion, which is over half of what the surplus is, for building projects, nearly half of which are on UW campuses. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And honestly, I'm not going to lie. Like, I love Papa Evers, but that made me very nervous. I'm like, are we just looking to blow the entirety of the surplus? Is that what he wants to do? Because, yeah, it's 7.5 is pretty cool, but, you know, I was looking at an article saying, like, we can celebrate that, but Minnesota has a $17.5 billion budget or surplus. And I would say, like, yeah, if we had nearly $20 billion in surplus, maybe this, but blowing over half of it on I'm wondering if he's going in saying, I only need $1.4 billion or $2 billion, but I'm going to say $3.8 so I can negotiate it down.
So it's proposing projects in 28 of the state's 72 counties, and it's things that include $1.8 billion for the UW system for brick-and-mortar building projects. Other big-ticket items include $41 million for fiber optic upgrades to the state capitol to improve cellular service, an additional $60 million for the new Wisconsin History Museum to offset rising construction costs, and $190 million for juvenile correction facilities that would eventually lead to the closing of the state's long-troubled Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake youth prisons. And so it seems like stuff that does need to get funded and does need to happen, but I don't know where this falls on the priority scale? And also, is there other ways to fund it? Like, sometimes I feel like with building upgrades and stuff, and I'm not always the one who say, oh, we shouldn't just rely on rich people to pick and choose the projects that should get funded. But some of this stuff feels like, isn't this what donors are for?
I think in the UW system, yeah. I mean, it's like instead of building them a library, saying like, hey, do you want to donate so much money for fiber optic, or not fiber optic, that's for the state, but like something like that where we need to upgrade the science department. We need to work on the ins. Yeah, I think that if and they'll probably come back and say like, yeah, we do have donors for that. Okay, well, where's that money going then too? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, 3.8 just seems like such a lot of money and almost... Like, they're probably like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
You're out of your mind.
I even see that one, and I'm thinking of Voss's stupid quote of, like, if you like watching Oprah, like, you get a billion, and you get a billion. Yeah. And because that does seem like a lot of money, especially if you couple it with what we talked about last Wednesday, which was the $290 million for the Brewers Stadium.
Yep.
And it just coming back to constantly questioning, I was like, all right, with a historic surplus that pales in comparison to Minnesota, apparently, but it's still big. Like, what is the most important things to fund? And I get that buildings need to be updated mm-hmm. and improved, but I don't know. It feels like other stuff that should be prioritized.
You know, we can't go back in time and change the five counties tax. You know, the taxpayers built that stadium. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say to the owners and say, all right, you guys take care of the upkeep now. We built it for you. You guys got to change the light bulbs and put a new coat of paint on there. It's not my problem.
Yeah.
It's your problem. You're the rich ones. We did the heavy lifting. Now you guys pick up a paint bucket.
But then what, and then the threat is that they would just leave.
Well, and that's every time. It's always, we'll leave. Okay, cool. Where are the world famous Milwaukee Brewers going to go? Kansas
doesn't have a baseball team?
They have one in Kansas City, yeah. Oh. They can just be Kansas. Kansas Brewers. Kansas Brownbacks.
Kansas Brewers.
Kansas Brewers.
All right. Well, when we come back.
They go back to Seattle.
Oh, yeah. A reminder that please donate to your local food bank because food share benefits ended and it's going to cause a strain. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we return. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe. New time, 3 to 6 p.m. and Dom.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 50. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 29. Tonight, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 36. 2 to 4 inches of snow Friday through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we got Greg Bach here because it's Wednesday. And rolling through the first hour, and just a reminder, I know this was last Monday Sherry Tesler was here?
Yes.
And Sherry
from
Tesler,
the Hunger Task Force.
Executive Director of Hunger Task Force was here to talk about the looming crisis, basically, that could end up happening in Wisconsin, but also nationally, because as of yesterday, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP, nationally, here it is called Food Share in Wisconsin, expired yesterday across 32 states, which includes Wisconsin. And nationally, it's impacted more than 40 million Americans. And in Wisconsin, it's going to be hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites. And it's not good. It's basically, I think the big fear is that a lot of people don't know that this is coming. And so they're going to go to try to buy food with the additional $95 a month they were getting under this emergency program, and it's not going to be there. And for some people, they're going to go down to $23 for the month.
Isn't that just shocking?
And
just criminal.
The group that is likely going to be affected the most is elderly people who are on fixed incomes. And this is happening at a time when food costs are still record high,
yeah,
as far as how far $100 gets you at the grocery store, and not very far anymore.
And even without inflation, it's still going to be too high for $23 a month.
And so, you know, I know that we talked about the Badger boxes and certain initiatives that Hunger Task Force is trying to do, but as far as having a more substantial funding option to make sure people don't go hungry. But until that happens, because we know how quickly government moves, this is a reminder to support your local food bank, because they are all going to be under in high demand right now as far as people needing to find other ways to get food because they can't afford to buy their own right now. Jane, you look concerned. Oh. And so that was kind of the biggest thing I had to, I just wanted to be able to remind people. Did you know this was happening?
No, I didn't. I mean, it's one of the things this is not something I was aware of, no.
And I think what's really disturbing about this too is that a lot of seniors are going to be affected by this.
Yeah.
A lot of seniors and a lot of children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, as one study found that at least nationally, this extension or this emergency, these emergency funds, was keeping 4.2 million people out of poverty.
Wow.
Jeez.
And the other thing that's ending with the pandemic era assistance is 14 million people could be losing access to Medicaid. And it's because the government officially is looking into who's eligible for the first time in 3 years. So
for the past 3 years, they have just allowed people to take Medicaid without vetting them?
I don't know the full... So, if you get healthcare coverage through Medicaid, you might be at risk of losing that coverage over the next year. And this is from AP, that roughly 84 million people are covered by the government-sponsored program, which has grown by 20 million people since January of 2020, just before COVID-19 hit, the pandemic hit. And so, but as states begin checking everyone's availability for Medicaid for the first time in 3 years,
wow,
as many as 14 million people could lose access to that healthcare coverage. A look at why so many people may no longer qualify for the Medicaid program over the next year and what you need to know if you're one of those people who relies on the program. And so this, they go into more information on how this is going to affect different people. But yeah, I mean, this kind of ties into what we were talking about in the first segment of, because if the student loan forgiveness doesn't happen, because right now you have, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, you haven't been able, you haven't had, it's the student, pausing student loan payments has been on pause basically since like 2020,
it's,
right?
But yeah, it's, yeah, currently it's still, I think it's on pause until May, I believe. I never paused mine personally.
Okay.
I paid the entire time. But yeah, I mean, people haven't had to pay since basically April or May of 2020. And for some people, it's been a blessing because their student loans are so, but those bills are going to come back.
Well, I mean, and that was part of the
And
the
interest
concern,
rates have risen.
But it's a concern with all of this, right? Yeah. Is that you gave flexibility, you gave lenience, you gave mm-hmm. extra money for all these different programs to get through, you know, a once in a lifetime pandemic where some people dramatically increased their wealth.
Yeah.
And for other people, the last 3 years have been really, really hard. And these big blanket programs through federal funding, you know, I get the argument that at some point they have to end.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's a lot of people who are not back to normal. There's a lot of our systems that are not back to normal. I mean, there's, you know, I don't pretend to understand the intricacies of why food is so expensive still, as far as I know. With eggs, it was avian flu. And I know, obviously, with the Russian-Ukraine war, there's stuff with grain and stuff like that. But, like, across the board, I don't know how much of this is just because all of our groceries are made by the same four companies, and so they can price gouge and stuff. So, like, I would have to look more into, like, why things are so expensive. But regardless, they are. And just going back to, like, normal before times isn't that easy for a lot of people.
I mean, I have to imagine, yeah. And I don't know. It's weird because I think about my life before the pandemic and now where my life is now. I actually feel better and mm-hmm. happier and yeah. more fulfilled. So I can't, it's hard for me to identify on the sides of the individuals who are so deeply affected by these programs that we're here to help, and now they're going away. And $23 a month for food is criminal. Like, that is, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who are like, you shouldn't even be getting that.
I know. Isn't that wild to think about people who's like, you're still like,
why am I paying for your food?
Yeah, exactly.
If you can afford to make a donation, peanut butter is really good. I'm trying to think of the other things that Sherry told us last week, Kristen. It was, you know, canned fruit and not in sugar water, you know, in just regular fruit juice and stuff like that. So check with your local food pantries. They are going to need the help.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, that will do it for our first hour today, Wednesday, March 1st. We did 1 hour. We got 2 hours to go. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue or online at knuckleheads.shop.
Knuckleheads CBD and Vapes.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.